You are listening to Rise Up Radio. The mainstream media is frothing with gossip about the so-called Monday massacre. On Monday, March 15th, Mayor Bloomberg summarily dismissed three of the members of the citywide school board because they weren't going to vote in favor of his plan to eliminate social promotion through high-stakes testing for third graders. Bloomberg won full control over the city's education system in 2002. Since then, he has used his appointed majority on the panel for educational policy as a rubber stamp for his initiatives. This time, he had to get his hands dirty and sacrifice his image in order to push through the testing plan. While much of the media condemned Bloomberg's unethical use of authority, the high-stakes tests themselves may not be facing sufficient critical scrutiny. Is flunking third graders who fail one test really about ending social promotion? Bloomberg modeled his plan on a similar initiative in Chicago. But this week, the Chicago Board of Education decided to focus less on testing and determining promotion because their high-stakes testing just hadn't shown positive results over the past several years. We're joined now in the studio by Bree Pickauer of the New York Collective of Radical Educators to deconstruct the idea of social promotion, high-stakes testing for third graders, and what Bloomberg's ridiculous maneuvering will mean for New York City youth. Welcome, Bree.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for having me.
Can you start just by sort of beginning to discuss the content of the mayor's initiative? This plan was announced during Bloomberg's State of the Union. Since then, what have you learned about the content of the plan and the test specifically?
Well, the first thing is that it's been very difficult to find out anything about the actual plan. As you said, it was announced in January. And from the moment that it was announced, we at NICOR, the Collective of Radical Educators, have scrambled to find out any specific information about the policy itself, and through that have really learned in more detail the lack of democracy, the lack of transparency in the ways in which these educational policies are being made. What we were able to find out through various speeches and from talking with other people involved in educational change is that the policy itself, which has now been passed, will base promotional decisions for third graders solely on their English language arts and their math citywide reading tests. The media is saying that the policy has been softened somewhat. That actually isn't true. It's still based on these test scores. And what's different is that there's an appeals process that has been put into place, or they're claiming will be put into place, but that has its own flaws as well.
So, yeah, actually, Bloomberg, in a statement this week, talked about that appeals process. He said that, quote, some defenders of this failed status quo have tried to say that we'll be making promotions based on the results of a single test. That's just not true. We've established a thorough appeals process. It requires teachers to evaluate every student who has scored at the lowest level, level one, in either reading or math tests. Teacher can overrule test results if they're not true indications of students' skills. So what's your answer to that?
Well, there's two things in that statement that I'd like to address. In terms of the appeals process, the test scores don't come back to the schools until very late in the school year. We often, as teachers, can't put the test scores on the report cards because we don't have them in time. So in order for a teacher to actually make this appeal, we would have to wait until the very end of the school year and then appeal to a principal who's getting ready to go on vacation. The principal who then has to make the appeal to the local instructional supervisor, we're going through three levels at this point and ending up with someone who's never met the child, doesn't know what the child is capable of, doesn't care about the child. And at this point, it's unclear when all of this is actually going to happen before summer school. That is just unfeasible knowing the bureaucracy that schools are in. It also leaves no room or voice for parents who might want to make a case for their child. It's also, frankly, not any different from what we have now. We already have a retention policy in New York. This isn't new. Right now, the policy is based on three criteria: test scores, attendance, and teacher evaluation. So this appeals process is pretty much saying that it's similar to what we're having now, except it's just making the appeals process much more difficult.
No, you yourself are a former teacher of second and third graders and sixth graders in New York. Right now you're in graduate school and working with student teachers. What do you see as the meaning of high-stakes testing in a third-grade classroom and social promotion and its effects on these 8-9-year-olds?
If anyone who knows an 8 or 9-year-old understands that filling out bubbles for 2 hours for them is not really a priority. So there's a number of different issues. There's kids who are performing on grade level who very easily could get a 1 on a test because their pet died, they're tired, they have a stomach ache, any number of these reasons. They don't have the intrinsic motivation to perform well on this test. They don't necessarily see the consequences of not doing well on the test. That's just for kids who should automatically go on. Then we have the issue of equity, where kids who are in schools that are underfunded, under-resourced, overcrowded, are now going to be punished for the faults of the system that is inadequately preparing them to perform well on these tests.
Can you talk more about the disparate impact on different areas of New York and specifically what your organization, the New York Collective of Radical Educators, has documented as the history of standardized testing, racism implicated in that?
Mm-hmm. High-stakes testing and testing in general has a really ugly history coming out of eugenics. And there's documented cases of all different ways in which testing is a flawed approach to educational reform, from test bias inherent in the test to the way in which, that the tests assume that we have an educational system that has a level playing field. That simply is not true. The Campaign for Fiscal Equity just got the Court of Appeals to say that this is not true. And what tests do is it acts as if everybody is equally prepared to perform highly on these tests. So it shifts the blame of educational failure to the children, to these 8-year-olds, as opposed to the system that's failing them. The other thing I'd like to just get back to in the quote that you read is that Bloomberg has kind of set up this dichotomy. And he says, I think in that quote that you read, he said, the people who are defending this status quo. I'd just like to say I'm not trying to defend the status quo. And many people who are opposing this policy are not happy with the educational system. But he set it up in such a way that you're either for him and this policy or you're happy with passing kids on without giving them the necessary skills. Dedicated educators are not interested in passing kids on without giving them the skills that they need. That's simply not what we're about. But we're not for holding them back based on a test score.
Well, what did NICOR, the New York Collective of Radical Educators, do leading up to this vote that tried to, you know, get some of these dissenting voices into the mix?
We did quite a lot, and we were actually very effective. We started by pressuring the Panel for Educational Policy, which before the Monday Night Massacre, nobody had heard of. It was a rubber stamp panel that simply went along with whatever Bloomberg said. We applied pressure to the panel members working on an email campaign. We showed up at their meetings. And many other educational activists were part of this movement. And through that, we really were able to get them to stop and take a look and reflect on what they were doing. And we actually would have won this vote 8-5 if Bloomberg hadn't played the ugly politics that he had. What we're currently doing is we are working in coalition with other anti-testing educational activists, and we're looking at what some of the possible responses could be. There's a lot of talk right now about a boycott. There's talk about rallies. There's talk about legal action. And NICOR is trying to figure out, as teachers, what are we uniquely situated to do? So what we're doing is we're in the process of developing a series of workshops to educate people on what these tests are really about, how they're used, how they're inequitable, how they're racist, and trying to counter the way this policy is being played out in the media by showing people that they're probably not for this in the way that they think they are because of the way it's being framed.
Do teachers feel any pressure or any fear of being involved in something that could look like they were engaged in advocacy inside school?
Absolutely. This is a very difficult issue to mobilize around because for teachers, I mean, clearly, look at the way Bloomberg and Klein treated their distinguished panel members. Teachers clearly are at risk for stepping out. There's not a lot of respect for dissent in the current administration. So it's hard to mobilize teachers. The onus in a lot of ways is really on parents because they're not as accountable to the system. But it's a scary time. Talk of a boycott is scary because we don't know what the consequences will be for 8-year-olds. So that's something that's really being discussed in depth right now.
Well, we have to wrap up, but want to get the contact information for NICOR?
Absolutely. If we have a listserv where we're discussing opposition to this third grade policy, and to subscribe to that listserv, send an email to nograde3test-subscribe@yahoogroups.com. So if you send an email to that address.
One more time.
nograde3test-subscribe@yahoogroups.com. You'll receive an email to confirm, and you just reply to that, and you'll be on our listserv. If you'd like to contact me directly to talk about how to get involved with NICOR, or if you're an organization that would like to partner with us around these workshops, we're looking for organizations who could sponsor this with us and who have access to parents. You can contact me at breebree, that's B-R-E-E, at mindspring.com.
Well, Bree Pickauer of the New York Collective of Radical Educators, thanks so much for coming into Rise Up Radio today.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.